Take it back over there. Where'd he go? Now, I can play music and they can serve you. I really believe one of these nights, the full meaning of what Christ provided at the table of the Lord is going to sink in. We have people at the banquets that partake, send messages to me. It's the first time, just like on TV. I get them every time we go to the table of the Lord. First time they've come to the table of the Lord without guilt. Some of them for 10, 20 years. What a tragedy. None of you watching me are in as bad a condition as the disciples the night that he partook with them. Do you really think you could walk with Jesus for 3 years and not be better than you are? I often wonder how they were able to do as bad as they did. Now, I'm sure there were forces of evil against them, but they had the Lord with them. I mean, you know, I don't want to be critical, but I don't know what I'd have done if I could have walked with Jesus. Do you realize he had walked on water to them? I mean, I'm telling you, I studied the resurrection and became a believer. That walk on water bit. They'd seen him perform his miracles. They'd listened to him teach. I'm telling you, I'm glad for his grace. It encourages me. But anybody that feels uncomfortable at the table of the Lord, and these closed communion birds, they wouldn't let any one of the disciples in. Of course, they wouldn't let Jesus in either. Because he ate and drank with sinners. The love of God, it's what we played this morning. I'd forgotten it. Let's get my comfortable chair over here. Got so many messages. Can't even find a place on the floor. That makes me nervous. Just give me a straight stand for this. When I get going with this saxophone, I don't know about that wiggly thing there. Told you I'm going to play this thing till you never ask me again. Three flat. Could we with ink the ocean fill? Were the skies of parchment made? Were every stone on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That's a powerful song. Three flats. I think I forgot the tune since this morning, but let's see. that partaketh examine himself. You ever heard it? Examine himself. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Most of those who intoned that to me didn't know the difference between an adverb and an adjective. If you tell them the L-Y on the word is normally an adverb, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. Because they thought it was always bad to lie anyway. And you couldn't have a lie even close to the table of the Lord. So they dropped the lie. And they ended up just saying, he that eateth and drinketh unworthy. Leaving off the lee. Or lie. They didn't know what damnation meant. They thought it meant something totally different than what the New Testament in its original language said. There's in the King James about three words in 1 Corinthians 11. Condemnation, judgment, and damnation. They were trying to be fancy. What are you so far away, Peter? Get over here. I knew there was some big vacancy in here. There you go. Now I feel comfortable. When I'm sitting up on this stool so alone. Do you love Jesus? To you that are watching the first time, I got a little irritated the other day because a guest was here. And Mike, one of the fine Christian men that work here, and they're all Christians, had done his Christian service and volunteered the time to help produce the program. And that person had the presumptive gall to say, as they were shaking hands at the end, he squeezed his hand and pulled him and then looked him dead in the eye and said, do you love Jesus? And it made me mad. I'm tired of that kind of presumption that people run around one-upping you. And they take that verse of scripture given to Ezekiel that had to do with the tribes of Israel and apply it generally speaking that they don't want your blood at their hands. You won't have their blood at your hands, my friend. That's an out of context scripture like the one misused as it oft is that I'm working on right now. One word in the Greek, three words in the English because they were trying to be fancy. The one word in the Greek is krema. Temporary punishment is what it means, and it describes what the temporary punishment is. Sickness, weakness, and death from that cause. You go on the rest of the chapter of 1 Corinthians 11, toward the end of it, it talks about the ultimate condemnation to the world. The word in the Greek is katakrama. If you want something temporary to become permanent and ultimate, you put kata or kata in front of it. What Paul is saying is that God lets his saints suffer a temporary punishment. Parenthetically, I would add, to get their attention, that he might save them from katakrama, the ultimate judgment or damnation that comes to the world. And that temporary punishment that comes, I've already said it, is sickness, weakness, and death from that source. And Paul says that if you eat and drink unworthily, you'll suffer that krema, temporary punishment. And he defines what eating and drinking unworthily is. Eating and drinking, he says, not discerning the Lord's body. He never once was talking about a person being worthy. He's talking about the manner of partaking. Unworthily is an adverb that modifies the act. Not the actor. He was talking to the Corinthians, always misplacing their attention. The gifts of the Spirit, they turned into a vehicle of self-edification. The domata, or gift ministers that God gave them, they turned it into allegiance to parties. I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, and one thought they had a corner on Christ. They could never keep their focus where God wanted it. The Lord's Supper was appended to the agape, which was a love feast, later outlawed by the Romans. They would come together in fellowship. The rich would show off their bounty. The poor would try to hide their meager fare. At that self-flaunting party, many of them would become drunk, and they'd tag on to the end of it the communion that Jesus had instituted as a fulfillment of the meaning of the Passover feast. And as they were partaking, some of them were past discerning the meaning of the elements. And Paul let them know that many were sick, many were weak in their midst, and some dying in their midst from that cause. Death here is not alien to the Christian walk. We're not preaching immortality in the flesh. But the psalmist declares the death of the righteous. He simply taketh their breath away. And the church was suffering sickness and weakness and death from that cause because they were not partaking of the elements of the Lord's Supper in the right manner. Had nothing to do with their individual standing before God in the sense of worthiness. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb, and every person starts unworthy. And no matter how much more worthy you may judge yourself than someone else, the distance between the most worthy man judged, between that and God, is so great it dims any differences between us. Paul wasn't talking about worthiness. He was talking about worthily performance. Worthily performing. Eating and drinking in a worthy manner. And he defined it. Nothing mysterious or even mystical about it. You partake in a worthy manner when you discern the meaning. That's why I've come against making this a high liturgical act where nobody understands what they're doing. That's eating and drinking damnation to you. When you, no matter how sincere, when you listen to the preacher hammer you on the head with the traditions and you start examining yourself, you've shifted the focus of discernment from him to you. We're covered. That's what atonement means. God looks at me through the spectacles of Christ. He takes my faith as though it were Christ's performance, including faith in what these elements mean. I'll partake with anybody if they will discern the meaning of the elements and claim the promise of God contained therein. The night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." They started the Passover centuries earlier by eating the roasted lamb. They didn't just put blood on the door, they ate the roasted lamb. I still proclaim this the greatest miracle of the deliverance from Egypt. Psalm 105 says, "They came forth and not a feeble one was in their midst." No way. 2.25 million people in slavery wouldn't have some feeble ones in their midst. God healed them all that night. There wasn't just blood on the door. They ate the roasted lamb, staff in hand, sandals on their feet, in haste, expecting to move out, claiming God's deliverance. And he called them forth, not a feeble one in their midst. He healed them all that night. We got a lot of problems in this walk. We may have to face what the Israelites faced in the wilderness journey, where God said he made them to hunger, that he might teach a man doesn't live by bread alone. He led them into the wilderness, that he might humble them, teach them to cling to him. But we got some advantages. He took them forth well. He took them into the wilderness healed. Now, there are lots of problems we have to face. I still will contend to my dying day. I've been fighting sickness, an old recurrence of shingles that came back on me. If I were to die of a sickness, and I'm sure this one won't kill me, but if I had something more serious, this is just painful and has side effects, but if I were suffering the incurable tonight, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. If I die of that sickness, God's word proclaims it, heaven's view sees it, with his stripes I was healed. And in the sovereignty and mystery of God's doings, nothing changes. Thy word forever settled in heaven. And here on the stage of time, I have to grab hold of that hook hanging down from eternity. God said it, that settles it. My sickness, including the little one I have now, and every sickness on any person out there and in here, was laid on him at Calvary. You study the atonement through the Old Testament. This is what it means to discern. The reason some were sick and weak, they didn't discern the Lord's body. They didn't discern what was contained in these elements. All through the Old Testament, the shadows cast, painting pictures in type and shadow of the substance that would come. Healing was there as well as covering for sin and redemption from the penalty there too. They ate the roasted lamb, I've already said, for strength in the wilderness. Number 16, plague killed them, 14,700 of them. Aaron, the high priest, the type of Christ, stood between the living and the dead. God's word says he made atonement for them. They weren't just restored, redeemed, covered for the sins that brought the plague. They were healed. There was physical as well as spiritual restoration. Numbers 21, when they sinned, the serpents came into the camp. God instructed Moses to raise the brazen serpent as a type of Christ the sin bearer. All who looked were restored from their sinning condition, covered for their sin, redeemed, forgiven, reinstated. They were healed. No matter what the distance, how far it had progressed, the look of faith restored them spiritually, restored them physically. The adult males in the tribe of Israel brought the silver half shekel as redemption money every year to be matched with the silver half shekel in the sanctuary, the type of heaven, in the Holy of Holies, which was the type of Christ. They brought that silver shekel as redemption money. But it also says they brought it that the plague might not come nigh their dwelling. Wherever you confront these shadows of the atoning work of God in Christ, you find healing attached. Explain it all you want. I want to claim it. It's there, and it's not an accident. I've already mentioned it. The Passover lamb eaten for strength. Isaiah 53. It wasn't enough for the prophet to proclaim he was bruised for our iniquities, smitten, wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes, ye are healed. And I've said it 1,000 times into this camera. Matthew 8:17 removes the alternative interpretations. It wasn't spiritual healing. Matthew 8:17 makes it very clear Isaiah meant physical healings. Throughout the 8th chapter of Matthew, Jesus heals various kinds of physical sickness. Matthew says that it might be fulfilled what Isaiah the prophet said, himself took our infirmities, carried our sicknesses, and the verbs in the Old Testament are to lift them off of us and carry them completely away. Peter, looking back, in a context in his epistle regarding physical need, said, "With his stripes ye were healed." I never major on the isolated text. I built my ministry on the repeatables of God. I believe it'll hit one of these nights. You don't need somebody with a gift. We all, if we have the Holy Spirit, have the gift, the one gift, and he brings with himself all of his expressions in capacity. And what are sometimes called the gifts of the Spirit are nothing other than the expressions of the Spirit already in us, that has been given to us by God as a gift because of our faith. Faith can reach up in your home. This is a healing I want to pervade this country. You then don't need me. You don't need anybody else. Wherever you are, I'd take communion every day if I was sick. Take that bread and discern the broken body of our Lord and understand it. God's no sadist. Whatever sickness you and I suffer tonight, he already placed it on his son. Some have speculated the earth was darkened, that man might not look on the buffeting from disease, as our Lord was buffeted with every disease to plague man, as well as shedding his blood for our sins. And claim the promise tonight in the knowledge that your sickness already has been borne by Christ, as literally as our sins can be put on that tree in faith, and we should reckon them there Put your sickness there and lift this bread with me tonight and claim it as I claim it. Looking back and personalize it. With his stripes, I was healed. And take it in faith in Jesus' name. I've already said the prelude to this one. I'm not worthy. Thank God I got the sense to know it. God help those that think they are. But God can't help those that think they are. That's the tragedy. Sinners, we all are. Unworthy, we all are. To partake worthily, we can do. We can discern that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. I stand here tonight to proclaim his grace, a beneficiary of it, because I recognize and discern my sins yesterday, today, and the ones I'll do tomorrow. He's already paid the penalty. And I'm made worthy because the life of one worth more than all of us put together was spilled through his shed blood that you and I might live. Again, I've said this 1,000 times. One day it's going to ring home. His son had never known anything but the light of God's presence. He took darkness of God's wrath for our sins that we might live forever in the light of God's presence. God treated his son as you and I deserve to be treated, that he might treat me as his son deserves to be treated. Why don't you take this cup and treat yourself tonight joyously because of God's grace, unmerited favor, as his son deserves to be treated. Look on yourself the way God looks on you, as righteous. God looks at me through the spectacles of Christ because I discern what he did. He laid my sins on Christ, and I'm free. Glory to God. Lift the cup and say, thank you, Lord, for your grace as we take it together in Jesus' name. I'm going to stop this good music and play I Want to Know Again. I love to hear from the people after we've gone to the table of the Lord. If you joined us tonight and discerned what is there for you, get on that phone and talk to me right now. Other times, to make modern Pharisees mad, tonight, for a victory. By the way, you folks that live in Glendale, you voices of faith that are in listening distance, I got some holes up here on the phone lines. So you just get your little old asteroid in gear and get down here. I think some of my voices of faith decided to take an early July 4th. May your radiators blow out, your tires slowly deflate, 100 miles from a telephone. If you don't get your little asteroid in here to help celebrate, then God will protect you. And your pastor won't be so mad at you. Bought my best circumciser tonight. The kind that... Don't need the chainsaw gospel tonight. Now, last night we were teaching on the First Church of Benihana, and I didn't finish. How many of you know that? But it's celebration time. I'd almost given up on justice. But when you have a judge that's honest, justice is still available. I think the judges hold the future of this country in their hands. You sure can't count on the bureaucrats and the prosecutors to pursue justice. They'll just drop their name and call themselves what they are, persecutors. You say, what do you celebrate? You just wait. You just wait a minute. I should have brought one for all of you. Justice prevailed today, and the persecutor got cut down to size. As most of you know, two innocent men in our church have been victimized. Let the fire fall. Victory. Why Baptist churches don't hand out cigars for newborn babes, born again ones? Two men in our church, Joseph Shackelford, the chief engineer of Dolores Press, and Larry Dudley, who buys time for Dolores Press and works voluntarily as the sound engineer here. Involved in altercation and accused of a crime, assault and battery, misdemeanor. I noticed that Channel 7 was not present today in their pursuit of truth here locally in Los Angeles. They were there when they saw these two innocent men marched into the courtroom in handcuffs and falsely accused. But they didn't show up for the finish. In probably the most intense trial for a misdemeanor in the history of jurisprudence, though I wouldn't call it that, there are annals of jurisprudence, you know, but you can change that first word a little bit and know what this was. It's not going to be in the annals of jurisprudence. It's going to be in the anus of jurisprudence. The biggest demonstration thereof in its history. In a never say die attempt by the district attorney and the police department, or at least the representatives involved of Glendale, to persecute these two men. The jury came in on battery, 12-0, acquittal, not guilty. The jury came in 9-3 on one and 8-4 on the other one, acquittal for assault. So they were hung on the first count. The
previous DA of Los Angeles, Philip Ozian, had a policy that on anything that the jury hung 7 to 5 or more for acquittal, he would not retry. But this DA came charging in like it was the Nuremberg trials, determined to retry the assault case. Now, if assault is attempted battery and battery is consummated assault, and the battery, in fact, occurred, there was a battery, the facts prove that. But self-defense is a legitimate defense against the charge of battery. Lots of people do not know that there is lawful force. You are allowed here in California to defend yourself, to stand your ground, and even pursue your attacker. They're acquitted of battery with self-defense a part of the defense. How in the world could you then pursue assault, which was intent to commit the battery that occurred? But you don't expect a retard to figure that out. You do expect people of intelligence and with character to. And the DA went in determined to retry the case. And there's been much made of a so-called testimony of Iran Span, who left this church voluntarily, left the state voluntarily, and is neither my enemy nor am I his, and likewise this church. We have 5 different versions why he left. They brought a tape for the judge to look at in chambers today, recorded by the Glendale police of Ron Spann's so-called testimony, that if they had had that, and if we just give them a little time and another trial, they could win with. The judge looked at it. I'm glad she did. She saw what the jury didn't see and came out, and on her motion, she very specifically read, a lot of people miss this, she very specifically read into the record on the judge's motion, on my motion, she said, in the interest of justice, case dismissed. All right. That's why I'm smoking this cigar. Some who were in the courtroom heard the judge ask the DA, what was the vote on the assault count? 9-3 for acquittal, Mr. Shackelford. And those in the courtroom had to notice that the DA was not eager to shout to the rooftops that truthful fact. I'm told he went out the back door and didn't even come out to carry on pontifical discussions with everybody in the hall. We didn't see that on Channel 7 ABC News in Los Angeles tonight. That would have balanced the truth of their reporting. I doubt we'll see that on the front page of the Glendale News Press tomorrow. But truth and justice won. There may be, I'm told, and I have a duty, I think, to report the news here too, there may be some subsequent lawsuits with other defendants. truth and justice won again. Everybody wins when that happens. And Judge Barbara Burke proved herself a rare kind of even-handed judge in a situation that could easily have gotten out of hand. Let's give her a hand on the air. Now, be sure you look in the Glendale News Press tomorrow and see if you find hidden away on the fourth page I doubt they'll even call them, and they've always called them employees of Westcott. They're not. Now that they're free and innocent, as established, I wonder if they will even call them employees of Westcott. It wouldn't be any more true than the previous time, but it'd be a credit to us. Suspect when people only tell you the bad news and don't correct it with equal force and vigor. That's why I'm smoking a cigar. Justice and truth won again. And when that happens, we win, because that's what we stand for. Now, I want to take you back to First Church of Benihana, pastored by all them perverts. In the tent meeting that Abraham and Agar had, we're in a budget crunch, and I am determined to raise $300,000 by tonight. That set the goal for the night. And I have been expounding on Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate. I do not want anybody to support me that I do not teach. Let him that's taught in the word communicate. I think all teachers of all truth should be the highest paid people in America. But I do not want anybody to support me, regardless of what they learn from me, unless they're taught in the word. I accept it. I'm even grateful for those. I have atheists and agnostics call and say, you've taught me things, and I want to show what I think it's worth, and I want to express value, and I accept it. But the primary thrust in the seeking to obtain support for this network is to people that I have taught in the Word. And when I quote Galatians 6, verse 6, it immediately separates my audience into two crowds. Let him that is taught in the Word, and just so you know it, the King James was prone to use the masculine gender in old-fashioned English style to include you women too. You know, you're just a little inclusion. Thank God you're included, because you carry most of the money. So you men better watch out. There's a certain kind of vengeance that's divine. And all these old rats, after they make it hunting some young chick and marrying her, because she outlives you, and the women will end up with all the fortunes. So I want you women to know that you're included. God included you. Bless his name. Let him, her and Shem, that is taught, turn the lights out, I can't stand to see Craig. Let him, her, and she and Shem. Got two hers in there that time, she and her. Let him, she, her, and Shem that is taught. I've just complimented you women. You're teachable. You caught that, didn't you? Now you're teachable. I can celebrate and teach, can't I? Let him, her, she, and Shem. That is taught. Now, if you're stupid, you're left out. In the word, communicate. The word in the Greek is koinonia. It means to jointly participate. I don't have to cover that ground again tonight, do I? We took you through Philippians. I could take you to the last two chapters of Hebrews and teach the same truth. Koinonia means to jointly participate. Share. Let him, her, she, him, shem, them. That is taught in the word, jointly participate unto him that teacheth. That's me. I'm ready to live by that rule. If no support came to anyone that didn't teach, we could eliminate some crap. Let him that's taught, that eliminates those that are stupid. And those that are not taught in the word, jointly participate unto him that teacheth. I guess that includes her, she's, and shems too. If they're teaching, it applies. Jointly communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Not prayers. Not God bless yous.